The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Friends, part of not sucking at divorce is knowing what tools are available to you, especially when a child's safety is at stake.
Exactly. And if you're concerned that your ex is abusing alcohol during parenting time, SoberLink can help. Or maybe it's you that's struggling with alcohol or accountability. Again, SoberLink can help. And as we always say, there's absolutely no shame in getting help.
SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the simplest and most efficient way to prove sobriety during parenting time.
And that's because the system gives you real-time alerts, facial recognition, and it has tamper detection to ensure integrity of each test. And guys, I've used this many times in my cases. Judges use it, other attorneys use it, and best of all, parents get peace of mind.
And as we always say, you've got this and we've got you, which is exactly why we have teamed up with SoberLink to give you $50 off of your device. To sign up and claim your offer, visit www.soberlink.com/notsuck.
It's not the divorce that hurts children. It's the conflict.
You cannot settle your case alone.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Okay, so before I start my obsessed, I have a quote for you that leads into exactly what I'm obsessed about. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You are not lazy, unmotivated, or stuck. After years of living your life in survival mode, you are exhausted. There is a difference. Okay, so I'm leading into my obsession. I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with.
I just got back from a girls' weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm completely obsessed with it, which relates exactly to that. My group of girlfriends are amazing and I love them. And we were all so tired. We've been through a lot of stuff. We had a friend who was very ill for a long time and we were so tired. And the fact that we got together and we're able just to not only relax, but enjoy each other's company, you know, the exhaustion kind of went away.
Yeah.
But I actually have two different obsessions. So the girls' weekend is amazing. And I'll also say, if there's a man listening, guys' weekends are so needed too. You come back, you're like a nicer human. You're just like a great mom. There's so many things that happen.
Okay.
But the other thing is, it was my turn to plan the trip. Mm. And so I brought these adorable cups from Etsy that have your name on them. I'm going to show you it. You can't see to our listeners, but how adorable is that?
Oh, I like the font. I like the script.
Mm-hmm. They're like rose gold cups. They say your name. So you don't mix it up when you're having your coffee. You can do water. You can end the night with cocktails all in one cup and you don't mix it up because it has your name on it. So they were very versatile all weekend.
Well, I like that. Where did you go on your girls' weekend?
You know what? We were low key. We went driving distance from Chicago. We were in Michigan. One of my girlfriends was unable to get away from work. So we had to be within driving distance of Chicago, which is unusual for us, but actually was kind of a silver lining because we didn't realize how tired we were. So, you know, the normal crazy girls' weekend is certainly not what we needed. And this was exactly what we needed.
Well, that is so nice. And that's a really positive obsession. So I'm glad that you got this episode of How Not to Suck a Divorce started with something so nice,
uplifting,
and wholesome. And yeah, look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at this.
See what happens when you just get away for a few days of life.
I'm not a girls' weekend kind of person. So
why?
I don't like it. I don't like anything.
What do you not like about it?
I don't like being with groups of people. I'm like a one-on-one person. I'm really good. I don't like groups. And I don't know. I'm also weird about traveling. I love it in theory. And then whenever I go wherever we're going, I always want to go home. Isn't that so weird?
You're like a homebody.
I am. I don't like being away from my home. I get really like anxious and kind of just sad. And I'm like, oh, I can't hear. Which is so strange. But I'm actually going out of town this weekend. My kids and I, we are going to Vegas.
I love it. What are you going to do with your kids in Vegas? Shoot some craps?
Yeah, I'm going to teach them how to play blackjack. They've got college to pay for. So
heck yeah, take them to the clubs.
That's right. Take them to the clubs. No, you know what? It was my dad's Hanukkah present to my boys that he would take everybody on a trip. And I don't like theme parks. So Disney was way out of the question. And my dad doesn't like beaches. And so we're like, okay, we're going to Vegas. And there's maybe not wild for our listeners who are familiar with this, there is so much for kids to do in Vegas.
Huh, did not know.
A ton. And I am very excited. So we're living it up. We're like just going to go, we're high rolling.
I love it. And speaking of kids, we have somebody on that's here to talk about children. And well, specifically, you know, if you're in a high conflict relationship and how to make it right for your kids.
That's right. That is the name of the game, my friends. So let's get into it. Let's bring on our therapist friend and dive into some high conflict co-parenting, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, guys. So I think everybody knows this, but the hardest part of life post-divorce is almost always co-parenting. Dun, dun, dun. Even in the best of cases, you're still giving up control over what your kids are doing and how they're being parented for like half of their lives. And that's really hard. And it takes a ton of letting go, a lot of communication, and a little bit of meditation and Xanax.
Exactly. But that's in the best of cases, because some cases or most cases are less than ideal when communication is completely challenging and two parents have a ton of anger towards each other, albeit probably justified. Co-parenting can be incredibly tricky.
Right. And then you have situations where you've got two divorced parties that don't see eye to eye on how they want their kids to be raised, but they've been tasked with raising these kids that they had together as now divorced parents. And that's really tricky.
Luckily, there are experts who can help you do this. You won't be hitting your head more than you need to against the wall every day.
Exactly. So this is a topic that we've covered once before on season 2 of our show with Dr. Randy Heller. And we're covering it again because this comes as not a surprise to anybody, but there is nothing more important in a divorce than the physical, emotional, and mental well-being of your children. So today we're bringing on another expert who's going to give everybody some insight and action steps on high conflict co-parenting. So how not to suck at divorce, listeners, please give a warm welcome to Deb Conley. Deb is a licensed therapist who specializes in helping families who are experiencing a divorce. And one of the reasons why we really wanted Deb to come on our show tonight is because her practice focuses on children. She creates a warm and playful environment where kids feel safe and comfortable to communicate with Deb uncomfortable topics. And she's also a reunification specialist, we should mention. When she's working with parents in a high conflict situation, she teaches them the art of viewing their relationship like a business, the business of being effective co-parents. So with that, hello, Deb. Welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your show. I'm very honored. Happy to be here.
So Deb, I'm going to launch into the first grouping of questions.
Okay.
But I would assume when our listeners are kind of sitting here thinking about it, they're wondering, when parents come to see you in their first session, you know, what state are they usually in? If it's anything like I see, they're probably really frustrated, really exhausted, and kind of feel like this is my last shot to get it right. And I don't even know if there's a path to get it right.
Yes, I would say all of the above. They're frustrated, they're angry, they're sad, they're desperate. A lot of times I have people come and say, "You're our last hope." No pressure. And so, yeah, there's a myriad of emotions. And, you know, sometimes it's been going on for a while and they know it's been kind of in the works and it's cumulative stress that they're experiencing. Or sometimes it's very sudden when someone just kind of like drops the divorce papers on them and it's like, wow, where did this come from? So sometimes you even get people who are just kind of in shock.
Yeah. And I bet those people who are in shock probably are playing catch up for a while, right? Like, do they kind of come in real quiet and then like two sessions later, they're like, and another thing.
Yes.
You're yes. like, oh, there you are.
Right, right. Or they're just at a totally different place than their co-parent is because that person is already had moved on in their head a long time ago. And they were like, wait a minute. It's just, you know, they're kind of like left in the dust.
Right.
And so that makes it difficult too, because they're trying to just navigate their feelings with their co-parent. And then they've got the kids to think about as well.
You know, one thing I love about having you on, Deb, is that your main practice is children. Now you're here to talk about co-parenting, but you actually see the effects that bad parenting has on children.
Correct. Correct. And a lot of that is, you know, I think, you know, you can talk about all the statistics and everyone's got, you know, different statistics and all of that kind of stuff. But I mean, generally when kids are seeing a lot of high conflict, they are on the fence and kids don't want to be on the fence. They're going to pick one side or the other because that's how their brains work. It's too hard to straddle both sides. And so normally they pick the side where the parent who is feeding them and taking care of them and doing homework with them and taking them to other events and everything, they kind of side with that parent. And then the other parent, who's maybe not as involved, kind of gets the shaft from them. Or maybe it's the parent who decided that they wanted the divorce and moved out, that parent, you know, because they just, it's just too hard to be on both sides. So the stress, it's not the divorce that hurts children, it's the conflict. So, you know, when we have a divorce rate right now that I've heard different statistics again, but it's around, I think, 52%, and it's gone up since like COVID, you know, we have to do better by our kids because this is becoming more the norm than not the norm.
Right.
So again, it's not the divorce, it's the conflict.
So I want to make sure that we take a moment here to recognize that we know that as you go through this divorce process, you're going to stumble. You're not,
right.
And there's no award at the end of a divorce for being like, I got divorced and my kids are fine. Sorry to all you motherfuckers who have sad kids. My kid didn't come out wounded at all. Get over yourself. That's not going to happen. This is exactly why we want to do this episode, because if you're going through a high conflict situation, tensions are high. So we want to give you action steps. We want to give you three things that you can do to start to reframe your mind so you can view your relationship with your soon-to-be ex or your ex, depending on where you are in the process. You need to view this as a business relationship, because what we want to do is mitigate as much conflict as possible. So with that, why don't we start talking about these steps? So let's start with step number one, because I realize this is a tall order that we're asking people, right? We've already said tensions are high, you're upset, she's upset, he's upset, everyone's upset. So how the hell are we going to direct people to get over all of this?
Exactly. And, you know, I think the first step should be, and this is the hardest step, but it's the most crucial step, is like not living in the past and trying to set aside the hurt and the anger and let it go. And that is the hardest thing. It's easier said than done. And I truly think it's a process.
Okay. So I'm like over here, like chomping at the bit. So, okay. So I love that action step, but tell me how one would know if you're living in the past, or if it's just like normal day-to-day divorce anger, because that can happen too.
So one of the things is, if you're constantly having conversations about like, well, you used to do this and you always do this, and using those those finite words like always, never, mm-hmm. you know, and then anything that happens in the past, like that's just what you're talking about all the time. You're not able to move on. And I see that all the time where people just can't just say like, you know what, we're going to just start over today. And that's hard because that involves trust. And how do you rebuild trust when most of the time there's been broken trust? And just taking that person for who they are and just going, I'm never going to change that person. This isn't about changing that person. This is about me being the best version of myself I can be, regardless of what that person does. So it's about, you know, working out of your cognitive brain, your thinking brain, instead of working out of that emotional part of your brain where everything runs on emotions. Are you reacting or are you responding?
And here's where it gets tricky, because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we're staying on topic here, meaning we're talking about high conflict situations. If you've got a more amicable divorce, then there might not be as much trust that's been rattled. But in a high conflict situation, chances are somebody screwed somebody over with something. Right. So there's already that trust broken. And now you want me to trust you with our children? So I need to suspend reality for a second and be like, oh, okay. So just because he or she did all of these things and ruined all of this, you're going to be fine with the kids. It's fine. I trust you. That is tough. That is tough. But this is why I think, and we're going to get to this at the end of this episode. So guys, stay tuned because we've got some ways that we can help you. But this is why people need help doing this. It's not enough to just listen to a podcast episode, right? And be like, okay, I'm going to apply all these things to my life.
No, I agree with you. And the one thing that you said, Deb, that I love, that I think everyone can do. So whether you think you're living in the past or you just know like you are having a hard time co-parenting, you said it and you kind of went quickly on it. But I think it was a good point and it should be taken, which is you can start over a new day and say, all right, today I'm going to be the best version of myself and I'm going to do my best to not get, you know, living in the past and upset about things and do my best to do, you know, overall what's best for the children in communications with my ex. And I love that every day could be a new day. I mean, you could have a really crappy day communicating yesterday, but if you wake up the next day and you try your best, that's what you're talking about.
Something else that you said that made me think once after what you said, Morgan, is it's not about the thought that we're having. It's the conflict that we bring to the situation that's going to hurt the kids. So even though person A might be thinking, how the hell am I supposed to trust you with our precious children? Because a year ago you did this, this, and this. It's knowing not to say these things. It's knowing what do you do with these concerns? Because by throwing that in the co-parent's face, you're only going to make things 100 times worse.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I think it's hard for people to filter out what is between two consenting adults and what is, you know, their issues as what they did to each other as adults or what someone did to somebody as an adult and how they are as a parent. And again, that's always a blurred line too, because obviously you can say that something that you do to another parent does affect your children. But it's like, you know, is that person a really bad parent or is that person just a very bad partner, you know, and sorting those two things out.
I think that's a big distinction. You know, was it just not a fit partner-wise, but they're an okay parent? But I don't want to digress because I love it. You just gave us number one, which is try not to live in the past. Be your best version of yourself. You can start over day by day. And like Andrea said, you're not your best version of yourself every day. It's just impossible, especially during the pressures of a divorce. So that was number one. So Deb, lead us into another step that someone can take to help reframe their minds with their ex if it's a high conflict situation.
So the other thing that you can do is improve communication and shift your role from being a former spouse to a co-parent. And that I know can be very, very difficult because a lot of us, I mean, and this is why they're teaching pro-social skills curriculums in preschools and kindergarten, first grade, because many of us were not brought up even knowing how to effectively communicate. And so what we bring all that garbage from our families of origin into our relationships. And so when you're in a relationship and it's like you this, you that, you this, you're not taking ownership for your feelings, you're just placing blame all the time, that really helps to erode the relationship. So if you can improve communication and then look at the relationship again, like people have talked about, like as a business partnership, like, you know, sometimes I've said to myself, like even as a parent, I've said to myself, what if there was like cameras in the living room and I was like supposed to be modeling on some kind of like reality show, like how to talk to a partner if I hated them or I didn't have a good relationship with them. And would I want that? Would I want people to see that? You know, like that's horrible.
Okay. It's funny you say that because it reminds me of kind of like this podcast in general. Andrea is so open to being on camera and just, you know, doing her thing. When I see myself on video, I cringe. And so doing what you just said, so if you're even angry and you record yourself when you're yelling or being your not your best self, oh my gosh, I would be so mortified by my behavior. And yeah. we've all been there. We've all done Absolutely. It. I just haven't recorded myself. So if you can just take a step back when you're in that moment and think, how would this sound on camera? How would I look? Mm-hmm. Maybe that would get you back to the moment of what the focus should be.
Right. And when we talk about a business relationship and this high conflict co-parenting class that I co-teach, like we talk about that model all the time. It's like, would you talk to a colleague like that? Would you talk to your boss like that? No. So it's like you are no longer romantically involved with this person. So your job is your children, and to be respectful and to model what that looks like. What does good problem solving look like? What does good communication look like? And you don't have to do the Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin, conscious uncoupling where you...
What does that even mean?
I don't know. They're going with each other on their honeymoons and all that. That's a little over the top for me. But I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, I can tell you the kids, their stress level, it's just like whoosh when they can feel that they can just know that their parents aren't going to... you know, go after each other and that they can at least have just a civil conversation.
Right.
And again, I think it's important that we're not talking about how you feel. We're not asking you to change. We're asking you to reframe how you communicate with this yep. person. The yeah. way that you feel right. about them is most likely not going to change anytime soon. But again, we're trying to diffuse the conflict that the children are witnessing. So when we're saying like, if there were cameras around you, you know, this doesn't mean that every single thing that you're doing needs to be edited, but we're talking more about when you're communicating with somebody who's, you know, bugging you. And again, this brings us to something that we talk about all the time in this show, our wonderful friend, Bill Eddy, who came up with the most fabulous. I think we're all Bill Eddy fans,
yes.
right?
Fan girls.
Love yes. him. Bill Eddy, we got your fan club right here, boy. but be a BIF, my friends, be a BIF. And for a quick reminder, BIF stands for be brief, be informative, be friendly, but firm.
Yep. Right. And if you don't know what we're talking about, find the episode on how not to suck at divorce. You will not be disappointed.
It's a good one. And you can order Bill Eddy's book. We'll make sure that all of this is in the show notes of this episode, along with all of these action steps that we're talking about, because we want this to be as easy as possible for you guys to remember and then apply to your life.
Okay. So I'm going to put my legal hat on really quickly.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's not so cute on you.
Isn't it so
I
good?
I love your legal hat.
It's kind of like a it's strange so Parisian beret.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's on. So what I tell my clients, because kind of what Deb just said, which is number two, is try to shift your role from a former spouse to a co-parent, because when your conflict and the kids see your conflict going down, their stress level starts to go down. So I always say, and like Andrea says, you're not going to change the way probably you feel about your ex. It's just not going to go away. Only usually time heals or therapy, etc. But what I say to them is when you have the children, and you are doing a drop off or you're at the game and you see your ex, say hello. I don't care if you absolutely despise them. Your children are watching your every move. So just grit your teeth, bear it, say hello. How are you? You don't have to talk a lot, but just those little gestures does help bring their stress level down. Okay, moving on. So we've gotten two steps. We need the third. So Deb, lead us into the third.
Recap the first two. Let's recap the first two just so we are keeping everyone. So number one was, oh my gosh, I already forgot. I'm
trying not to live in the past. Be your best version of yourself. Don't live in the past.
Yep.
Okay. And then number two
is
improve the communication
and shift your role from a former spouse to a co-parent.
We are on a roll, my friends. Okay. The third action step, Deb, give it to us.
Let go of control. Ooh. Model being the better person.
I don't like that one. Give us another one.
You know, and it's funny, you know, it's like not, you know, I guess the other thing is like, because I would say like 6 days a week deal with very high conflict people. And I'm like, you know, I try to remind people that not everything needs a response, right? Not everything needs a comeback. And I'm going to go back to 1977. My grandma used to have this, like, remember when those plates that you put on your wall, that was like the biggest thing that were so in style, the Hobby Lobby. And the
The decorative plates?
Yes, yes, yes. And I remember my grandma, I don't know why I remember this, but I use it all the time. I remember my grandma had one of these plates that said, never answer an angry word with an angry word. It's the second one that makes the quarrel. Ooh. And that's really true. You can't have a fight by yourself, right? If you were out in the middle of a forest and
you got real problems. This is not the podcast for you.
If you go out into a forest and have a fight with a tree, you just can't, right?
I don't know. I've seen people on the streets of Chicago fighting themselves. Never know what you're going to see.
I'm sure. I just never thought that Hobby Lobby would come in handy all these years later, but I'll never forget that plate that was hanging in there. It's like, you don't need to respond to everything. And if you feel like things are getting heated, you can say, you know what? I don't think this is going in a good direction right now. I don't want to fight. Let's have this conversation later.
Okay. So how does one let go of control? Because let me tell you a story called Once Upon a Time, I became a mom. Therefore, I am really used to being in control. And I will tell you that, I mean, we're all in the same boat here, especially when you're momming to little kids who really need someone doing all the things, right? That is really challenging to be a mom and to be on all the time when you have your kids versus not being in control. So how do you help someone with that?
You know, it's really it's hard. It's very hard. It's like a change in mindset, because truly none of us have control over what happens at someone else's house.
Right.
So, I mean, and we all know according to the courts and everything, unless it's a safety issue, you know, or an abuse issue, you know, if somebody doesn't put on mittens and it's 10 degrees out
You know what I usually get is they let them eat McDonald's. And I don't allow McDonald's. It's only organic vegetables at my house. I'm like, well, I can't do anything about that. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff like you're going to make yourself crazy for the next 18 years of your life, especially people who have like really little ones, like the 2 and the 3-year-olds. And yes, you might not be doing things exactly the same way as that person would do. But guess what? If you were together and you were living under the same roof and you were happy, and let's just say that your co-parent who you were married to or in a relationship with, you know, took your kid out and, you know, let them have McDonald's, or you were gone for a girls' weekend and they had the kids and the kid had 101 temperature and you find out they didn't get Tylenol. If you were married to that person or you were in a relationship with that person, you might be upset about it, but you'd get over it and excuse it. You wouldn't take it to court. And that's what happens here. It's like, it's just these things. It's like this, and it just goes whoosh.
That's a point well taken.
Yeah. You know, and so I try to tell people, I'm like, look, you know what? You have to get yourself in check here because the courts are overloaded with situations where kids haven't had a winter coat on, or they haven't given Tylenol, or, you know, they got to school 15 minutes late. And I'm like, truly, unless your kid needs chemotherapy or they need insulin, they don't care. This is stuff that belongs outside of court. That's better dealt with a parenting coordinator or a mediator.
Or a therapist.
Right.
Or just know some things you have to let go of.
You just have to.
There are some things that I'm sorry, maybe not everything even needs to go to a parenting coordinator or a therapist, whatever. You just have, at some point you got to deal. And that is the hardest thing. And I'm saying this, and I went through this. You have to deal. I have a friend whose ex loves talking about taking things to court. Everything's going to go to court. This didn't happen. I'm taking it to court. You didn't do this. We're going to the judge. And it's like, okay, calm down. Like, enough already. You just have to know, like, with my kids, I use this technique called scaling it. So whenever they get really upset about something, I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the house is on fire, right? How big of a deal is this? Anything that's over an 8, we'll deal with right now. If it's an 8 or under, like my iPad isn't charged, that is not an emergency. But I think we're so used to right now, we've all become so reactive. Every single thing that doesn't go our way, you know, we're flying off the handle.
And I even have this thing that I use with little kids, and I've actually brought it to the group that we do. And it's like, does the response match the problem? So it was like a worksheet for children where it's like, here is like a horrible problem, like a fire, a tornado, a car accident, right? Here are middle of the road problems, and at the bottom are little problems. But if it's a little problem, but your response is something that should match the response of a car accident, I'm like, you gotta think about, like, it's not, you know, and that's usually what happens here. It's a really, really big response to a very small problem that if you were married, you wouldn't be talking to that person that way about it. You would
totally.
All right, you know, you screwed up, don't do it again. You wouldn't be taking them to court.
So true. All right, so let's recap these awesome three things and how you can deal with a really high conflict co-parent, because I love your ideas. And of course, everyone listening, this could be probably 1,000 episodes all in one, but we are just recapping some good coping mechanisms for your high conflict co-parenting interactions. Number one, try not to live in the past. And what that means is just be your best version of yourself day to day. And if you had a bad day yesterday and you weren't the best version of yourself, it's okay. Let's start again tomorrow. Number two, let's improve communication. And what Deb means by that is shift your role from former spouse to co-parent. Mm-hmm. And number three, final, is let go of the control. Be the bigger person. And remember, like she said, you can't have a fight with yourself. Don't respond to everything, especially if it's triggering and it's just looking for a fight.
I like it. This is helpful stuff. Okay. So something else that I want to talk about, because I mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation. You can't just listen to a podcast episode and change your life immediately and change the way you co-parent and make things so fabulous when they've been so crappy. But luckily, Deb, I understand that you offer a class that helps parents in this situation. So tell me more about this. How does the class work?
So Dr. Gail Petrich, who is a attorney and psychologist, her and I teamed up, and we are going to be starting in April our fifth round of a high conflict co-parenting group. So it's a psychoeducational group for parents who are extremely high conflict. And we do this for 5 weeks. We have done it in person. We have done it by Zoom. We have done it hybrid. It kind of depends where people are coming from, and childcare and all that. But anyhow, it gives parents the opportunity to talk who probably haven't talked in quite some time. And it gives them skills, and it gives them something to think about, and also support from other people in the group who are going through similar situations, because it's all shades of gray, right? It's all like the same kind of stuff, just with their own twist on it. And then we offer consultations like in between sessions for co-parents who are really struggling. In fact, this week we did like three of them. And so it's, you know, it's been great. We do it on Tuesdays from 6 to 7:30 and for 5 weeks. And then we actually, if people want to join the next time around, we've had some people who wanted to continue. So it was kind of nice because they had gone through those five sessions already and they can kind of like offer some insight to new couples who are coming on.
That's really awesome. What about, who's an ideal candidate to potentially take this class?
So we've had people that mostly are pretty high conflict and maybe don't have very good communication skills, people who have been struggling, people whose kids have been seeing all of this. And honestly, I have found that prior to doing reunification work, if there is a parent who's estranged from their children, I have found that it's really helpful for them to take this class first, because it's kind of like taking like if you had algebra, but you didn't take pre-algebra. It kind of laid the foundation for like, this is why it's important for you to get along. This is what's happening to your child when you're not getting along or you're not allowing your child to see their parent. These are the things that happen. So how do we stop the cycle?
Right.
And so I have actually, in some cases, I've actually even talked to attorneys or guardian ad litems and said, you know what, can you just court order this? Because I know people are going to be like, I don't want to do it. But then when they get there, they're pleasantly surprised.
That's really great. What about, so can someone just sign up by themselves or does it have to be both co-parents?
We actually have had that happen where one co-parent wants to go and the other one absolutely refuses. And if it's not a case that's like been court ordered or in court or whatever, we're like, you know what? You're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for what you do. And yes, we can't make a co-parent change. We can't make them be who you want them to be. But you know what? It's like in the end, when your kids look back at their childhood, they will look and say, because their brains will develop, right? And they'll look differently at it. You know, it's like maybe right now they're looking at it through a five-year-old or a six-year-old brain. But when they get older and they're 17 and 18 years old and they look back at this mess, they're going to see who was the bigger parent. And I don't mean to make
it's not
a competition. Hopefully they can say, hey, you know what? My parents got divorced and both of them handled it really well. And I'm glad that my parents were amicable. But in cases where they weren't, at least they can say, you know what? This parent really tried hard to put my needs first. They tried hard to make this as non-confrontational as possible. But you don't get that payoff until the end.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel comfortable saying that the class is effective if just one parent takes it and not both?
I think it's effective for like what you're looking for. Like if you just want to improve yourself, yes, I really do. Does it mean, I mean, again, like you can't really change the other person, but you can learn, like sometimes we have people who come and their co-parent's not there, but they're so triggered by that person. So we can really help them like work on their triggers and how to like respond differently, because what it's about is controlling your behavior, controlling your response, your emotions, your feelings, and setting a good example for your kids. You know, and a lot of times we'll say, you know what, why don't you take out a picture of your kid? We did that at our first one. Take a picture of your child and put it on the table. That should be your highest priority, not one-upping your co-parent as much as you just want to like, just like turn the knife because it's like you would just love to have the last word. No, it's about you brought these children into the world. You are responsible for their happiness and not how many like, you know, not putting in their baby books. This is our third DCFS report, our sixth cop visit. You know, it's like, we don't want our kids to look back at that and have that.
And no parent wants that to be part of their history. And I think for the majority of people, I can't say across the board, but for the majority of the people, these are good people who are going through something bad. And in a divorce will bring you to your freaking knees, and nobody behaves well when they are exhausted, when they are scared, when they are stressed. It is not, it's not a normal time. And I am, I don't know what the right word is. Grateful, I guess, because I can't think of anything else, that you offer something that can really help make a difference, because people going through this need help. They don't need to be told, you're going to fuck up your kids are going to hate you. That doesn't help anybody. Just let's just help people be better. So with that, can anybody sign up for your course? Meaning, can they live in Montana?
Yes, and I think the biggest distinction is like we are not, even though we are both therapists, we're not functioning in the role of a therapist. So people just need to understand that we're like more of a, we're doing more of coaching, not therapy. We're doing an education group. But yes, anybody can.
Perfect. And then rather than having you give the name of the website on the air, because no one has a pen with them, I am sure, we'll put a link directly in the show notes so they can click to get all the information and sign up, because you need this. I am so glad that this is here for you.
And we like it. I love doing this group. I really do. I think it's just so nice to have that support. And, you know, I really enjoy it. I think we both enjoy it.
So I also want to just let everybody know that for those of you who have not yet joined our private community over on Patreon, go join it, because as soon as we're done recording this episode, we are bringing Deb on to do a mini bonus episode just for our Patreon users, where we're actually going to answer a listener question. Somebody wrote into us today, actually, with the question that is perfect to throw Deb's way. So we're going to ask her some questions about some high conflict issues. It's also about some triggers and what do you tell the kids? What do you not tell the kids? And we're also going to give you guys some insider tips on how you can negotiate things regarding the kids with someone who feels really impossible or difficult to negotiate with. So head over to Patreon. The link to that will be in the show notes of this episode as well. And for the low, low, low fee of $8 a month, you get to listen to all of our episodes in the most discreet way possible, as well as getting access to monthly Q&As with me and Morgan, and bonus mini episodes with all of our experts. So head on over there if that feels right to you. And Deb, thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
That was a powerful conversation. I'm glad that we did that. Sometimes the co-parenting episodes are tricky for me, but this one felt very beneficial, really helpful, I think, because we were able to focus the attention. I mean, I think that's why it's important for me to always chime in and say, you're not going to be perfect. Don't try to be perfect. Because I think that's the part where I almost feel like I get a little defensive inside, because you are reminded of all these mistakes that you made.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, it's funny because our listeners don't get to see what I see, which is I watch, you know, your face and our guest's face on Zoom when we're recording this. And I'm used to seeing you so triggered by these topics. And I know you hesitate to even do these types of topics, which is, you know, tough for you, but also really helpful for our listeners. But today was probably the first time that I haven't seen you that triggered. And you were like all in, not necessarily excited, but like your attention was 100%.
Yeah, I think that it's because full disclosure, having more experience hosting this show and figuring out there's certain things that when we just speak openly about this stuff, we're not giving people direction. That's kind of hard, because then you're just kind of opening up wounds. And I was always really sensitive to are we helping people? But today I feel like we were really able to help. And I hope we were. Guys, if you want to know more about anything we talked about, or if you disagree and want to tell us that this was not at all helpful, slide into our DMs and let us know, because again, we say this 100 times, we do this show for you. Okie dokie. Let's slide on in to one of my favorite segments, fan mail, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay, let's see which Nigerian prince DM'd us today.
If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
This is fan mail.
Okay. Messages galore this week. A lot focusing around money this week. Okay. And that's because I did some content on our social media about like the feelings that you go through when you're planning, when you think you want to leave your marriage, but you're worried about how are you going to be a yep. single parent? Like how the hell
financially?
Financially, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so there's been lots of messages that have been coming in about money questions, but one person wrote in something that's perfect for you. And I'm not going to read it verbatim because I don't want to like out this person, but yeah. The gist of it is that it's a woman who wrote in and she says that her soon to be ex-husband is kind of putting up a fight on every single financial issue possible. Mm-hmm. And that it's feeling like things are never going to get resolved. And she says, basically, it sounds like somebody who just didn't get the memo that you're going to have to give up something in a divorce, right?
Yep.
Like this person's
yep.
like, nope, not giving you that, not giving you
right.
this,
not right.
giving you that. And her problem is, a lot. It's just costing her more money,
right,
to fight this because she's got to pay for counsel. But she's like, I can't just roll over and give this person everything they want. So, what does somebody do in that situation? Okay.
So, a little bit to unpack here, but I first want you to know if your ex is acting like this or your ex's attorney, sometimes it's a strategy move. So, agree to nothing, be super unreasonable, and it just makes you crazy. But also, a lot of people end up rolling over because they just don't know what to do. And there's always an issue, and it's like one bump after another. What I always suggest is one, know your risks with your lawyer. Ask them, you know, if I take this to the judge, what are my risks? So that you know if, like, it falls within this percentage, good or bad or in the middle, I'm going to be okay. What I say is stop the nonsense. If the person's unreasonable, stop negotiating with them and say, we'll see you in court. Get that court date booked. Because at the end of the day, sometimes people just need that judge to make the decision and then they're moving on. So you know who you are who are dealing with these people that absolutely just churn everything. And if that's the person you're dealing with on the other side, I always say this, you cannot settle your case alone. So remember that. Take a minute and think about that. You are unable to settle your case alone. It takes two willing participants. So if there's only one, then you should just book that date with the judge now. Push your lawyer to get something on the books, know your risks, and execute.
Let me ask you a question. So, you know, you hear the words court date and I think someone's like, oh my God, that's going to be so expensive. Yeah. Is there a way, like you get the court date booked. Is there a way that you could then communicate with your counsel and say, I don't want to respond. Like, I don't want to have any more communication regarding this matter until this. That way you're not paying for all of this back and forth dialogue that's going to run up your attorney's bill.
So it depends on the jurisdiction that you're in, because for us professionally, we are under the duty to respond if we get something. That doesn't mean we have to do a big, long response or have point by point responses, but we have to acknowledge that we got it and respond to the person. It could just be, you know, I'm sorry, we really don't have a response on this point and we have the court date coming up, so we'll deal with it at that point. That's a pretty simple response. It's not going to be very expensive. Okay. But the thing to think about is that don't think about sometimes the costs leading up, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, the court date's going to cost so much. And it will. Court is expensive. But here's sometimes what costs more is the nonsense that you let your lawyers engage in day to day, just hoping that your ex is going to actually agree to something.
Right.
You know who you are. If you've got that ex or the counsel on the other side, get that court date. Most of the time, I would say over 50% of the time, the issue will settle on or before the court date, before, because you just need that leverage. You need that worrisome issue on both sides that we're going to court and here's the date, to sometimes get people to come to the table. And then sometimes they don't, and the judge has to make a call, and that's okay. Because in those types of high conflict cases, sometimes the judge making the call is cheaper in the long run.
Okay, that makes sense. That helps. I just think I'm thinking about people. I feel for this woman who wrote, who says, I just don't know, like, when is this going to end? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm terrified to get, I'm fighting this person on these things. And then I'm going to get the bill from my attorney. And it's like, response on this date, response on this date, response on this date, phone call with you, phone call with opposing counsel, da, 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 da. Yeah. It's like, I just paid $2,000 because this person won't just, you know, negotiate.
I know. That's the problem, is you can't make somebody be who's unreasonable be reasonable. But remember that at the end of the day, what you need to think about is, if that unreasonable person continues to think they're in the driver's seat, then they're going to keep the antics up. The minute that they get backed up against the wall, or the judge makes a ruling that maybe they weren't expecting because they thought they were in the driver's seat, you're going to see a very different negotiation.
Yeah. And again, that's why relationships between attorneys is so important, right?
Yep, because agreed.
You want to hire an attorney that is not, God, for the last time, people, stop hiring sharks. You don't want a shark. You want a reasonable person who knows how to converse with other humans, who can help get a job done. If anyone comes to you and says, I'm a shark, I'm going to do this, that just is money, 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 money. You want somebody who knows how to send emails that are, again, being a biff, right?
Yep.
You agreed. Get to the point, but they're friendly about it and they don't come at people guns blazing.
Totally. All right. So everybody, that was an interesting episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate and review us on your podcast app. We'd love to hear from you. DM us. Just hit the 5 stars, please. That means a lot to us. But remember this, divorce is a marathon. This is a long marathon. And some days you're taking it day by day. Some days it's hour by hour. And what Andrea and I want to remind you is, nobody is perfect during this process. So do not beat yourself up if you have a bad day.
That is exactly right. We love you. We appreciate you all. As I said a few minutes ago, we do this show for you. So please continue to write to us. Let us know what you want to hear about. If you haven't yet joined our private community, hop on over there. We are answering even more listener questions over there. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your book club, tell your ex about our show. We are here to help everybody. And on your hardest days, on the days when you want to give up because doggy paddling is so freaking exhausted, keep going. You are almost to the island, we promise you. And life is so much better on the other side.
That's right. Don't forget, you've got this and we've got you.